Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hello, friends. So glad that you are joining us today. This is Pastor Jonathan McLean, and you are joining us for the Abundant Life Ministries, which we are an Assembly of God church that's located right here in Stuart, Florida. And we're so glad that you've joined us this morning. The message today has to do with communion. It's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I trust that the service is a blessing to you. We are currently having services in a rental location because we are developing the property on the corner of Willoughby and Salerno Road right here in Stuart. God has blessed us with a beautiful piece of land, and it is under construction, and we are making great progress. It won't be long until you'll see the building going up, the first building. But in the meantime, we are at 770, that's 770 34th Street in Palm City, Florida. Palm City Civic Organization at 770 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City, Florida. If you don't have a church home of your own, why not come out today? Join us. Services at 9:30 this morning. Bring your children. We'll have a great time worshiping and celebrating the presence of the Lord as well as preaching of the Word. And I do want to remind you that Jesus came to give us life, John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Of course, we know the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And when Jesus said, "This is my body," I want you to, again, I'm going to bring you back to that declaration of John who says, "The Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world." And I want you to keep in mind what Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood." I want you to take and eat of the body and the blood of Yeshua. So yes, the priesthood of the people, they ate from the sacrifice. When Jesus said, "Take and eat," the people understood the sacrifices and they understood eating from the sacrifice, but they didn't understand the part about the blood because they were never ever to eat or drink the blood. They were never to do that. So the life, we know life is in the blood, right? Life is in the blood. We're going to talk some more about that in a little bit. The blood of Jesus was very different from all the other blood on the entirety of the planet that has ever been. His blood was perfectly pure. I know during COVID and thereafter with a lot of the vaccinations and a lot of the shots and a lot of the complications that continue, I heard some discussion about pure blood, the pure-blooded people that were not contaminated with some of those things. But as we're looking at the system this morning and recognizing how great the need is, I want you to understand that all of us are contaminated, and there's only one that truly has pure blood that can pay the price. Do this in remembrance of me. Intentional, unintentional. In fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, you'll find that in the garden, we find in the garden that they're told not to eat of the tree, right? And I was looking at that and I was thinking about the aspect of death, because the word of the Lord was, when you eat of this tree, you will die. And what did Satan say? Satan said, "No, you're not going to die if you eat of this tree. You can eat of this tree because God knows if you eat of this tree, you will understand both good and evil, but you will not die." But yet the power of sin at that point is exposed, because sin would have been permanent. There was more time, we would go to more of these scriptures, but in fact, maybe we should look at it. Go to Genesis chapter 3:22 just for a moment. Genesis 3:22. I believe this is significant, and you probably have heard it. Maybe all of you know it, maybe some of you don't know it, but look at this. Genesis 3:22. "Then the Lord said, 'The people have become as we are, knowing everything, both good and evil. What if they eat the fruit of the tree of life?'" That is a really big what if. "What if they eat of the fruit of the tree of life?
then they will what? What does it say? They will live forever. But wait a minute. Aren't they going to live forever anyway? I mean, think about it. Do the unrighteous live forever? Yes, they do. The difference is either you're going to live forever separated from God or you will live forever with God. All people are going to die and then we're going to continue to live forever. And so when you read this passage and you look at this, what is this passage saying? I personally believe what it's saying is that if Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of life, that they forever would have been damned and separated from God. Because at this point, they have rebelled against God, they've disobeyed God, and so did Satan and the angels that fell with him. And so if they now partake of the tree of life, they are going to live forever in that lost state, I believe. So the Lord God banished them. Yes, he banished them. Banished Adam and his wife from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After banishing them from the garden, the Lord stationed mighty angelic beings to the east of Eden, and a flaming sword flashed back and forth, guarding the way to the tree of life. So we know that if they had eaten of the tree of life when they were obedient, the other side of that is, they could have lived forever without sin. Wouldn't that have been a different planet to live on? If they had just fed on the tree of life instead of the tree of death and evil. But they didn't. So we need life, don't we? We need life. So in Leviticus, we see that intentional, unintentional, whether they're sins of omission or sins of commission, the wages of sin is always death, and we know that. And so we know that there is a great and tremendous need that all mankind has. The great requirement was the sacrificial system. We looked at that. And now I want to come to the last point, and this point is the great sacrifice that Christ made for us that we might have life. What are we doing this morning? I'm calling you to remember. I want you to remember when you partake of Holy Communion what it's all about. I sense that God was saying to me, we need to allow God to raise the level of respect and reverence in the house of God and to stir up in us a fresh and renewed faith to understand what we're supposed to be remembering when we partake of the elements. In fact, I appreciate the brothers that pass communion and then go and pick communion up and those who serve as ushers and serve as security. I appreciate their sensitivity that I believe has been developing to a new level. I appreciate that. And I would like to call all of us to a higher level of reverence of God. In fact, occasionally I'll catch myself maybe talking to someone and I realize that Bob has already started praying over the congregation. I really believe when someone is leading the service and they're praying that we should have respect and should immediately stop any conversations if we're able to. And I know there's some things that can happen if you have a child that falls in the floor or somebody passes out or, you know, somebody dies like the one pastor was telling me. Had a person in his church just fall over dead. They had to do something, you know. I understand that, but I mean just generally to come to worship with a higher sense of awareness that God is actually here and that God is aware of our hearts and God is aware of our worship and God is aware of our prayer time. And we are to remember Him, not just when we receive the elements in communion, but I believe we're to come with a heart of remembrance and thanksgiving, and out of that should flow our worship. I hope you can understand what I'm sharing this morning. So the great sacrifice, it was in John chapter 6, verse 53, where Jesus said, "You must eat of my flesh and drink my blood." I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. I used to have one or two favorite passages. Now I have so many that I think I've just decided the Bible's my favorite passage because it's so hard. Hebrews is certainly one of my favorite books, but so is Romans. Love Romans. So is John. So in Hebrews chapter 10, I want to just call your attention because it kind of brings it together. And why don't we start with verse 5? That is why, this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. That is why Christ, when Christ came into the world, said, "You did not want animal sacrifices and grain offerings, but you have given me a body so that I may obey you." No, you are not pleased with animals or with other offerings for sin. Why is that? Well, you know the answer. Because the animals and their blood could never take away sin. They could only help to understand that sin demands a payment of death. That's all they could do. And some would say, well, what a bloody religion. What a bloody story to read in the Old Testament about the sacrificial system. Yes, but what a wicked people we are without God. Do you see that? For the wickedness, there had to be an awakening. There had to be a sovereign call of God to say, sin demands a payment of blood and death. That is what sin demands. And Satan has the right to collect. And if Satan does not see the blood of Jesus, Satan will come to collect what is his. He will not pass or give up that offering. He will come for it. So we know even David experienced this, didn't he? When David sinned with Bathsheba and he has her husband put to death, Uriah, and then David, he cries out to God in the psalm. And what does he say? He said, you were not looking for sacrifices. David could have brought 1,000 lambs. But he realized God is not looking for all of those sacrifices. God is looking for a heart that is sincere and broken, that simply comes to God in repentance. And David understood that. No, you were not pleased with animals. Verse 6, burned on the altar or with other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures. Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or grain offerings or animals burned on the altar or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses. Then he added, look, I have come to do your will. And what happens with the first covenant? He cancels the first covenant in order to establish the second. Amen? And what God wants is for us, look at it, what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. Hallelujah. Yes, it is a place to clap and say hallelujah. This is why we remember. It's why we celebrate. It's why we remember every week. It's not out of law. The Word doesn't say we have to, but we can. We're able to remember what Christ has done. Under the Old Covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that can never take away sins. But, verse 12, our high priest, say that with me, our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all time. This is a hallelujah message this morning. Then he sat down at the place of highest honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled as a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he perfected forever all those whom he is making holy. Brothers, let's pass communion. I'm going to close by going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we will look at this passage. You know, the Jewish people understood the sharing of the communal meal. But I have to mention one more thing, even though there's not really time to go into any detail about it. And that is, they also understood Passover. How many of you know a little bit about Passover? A little bit. You understand that Passover was the Exodus. We have Genesis and then we have Exodus, right? So we have Genesis beginnings, we have Exodus, we have the freedom, we have the deliverance. We have, after 430 years, Israel is released. And so, what were they to do with the lamb? They were to slay the lamb. What were they to do with the blood? They were to take the blood, put it on the doorpost, right? What were they to do with the family? Get them inside. And then what are they to do with the lamb chops? Not just the lamb chops. They are to eat, if possible, if they can't eat it all, share it with the neighbor next door. But make sure you eat how much of it? All of it. All of it. When we remember the Lord, I want to call your attention to the fact that yes, it is Passover. And it is that meal. And to the Jews, They understood that in Passover, there had to be a lamb, you had to apply the blood, and you had to eat the lamb. But the blood was applied on the outside of the house. And then all who were inside the house were saved, right? And so they did understand that there was participation in the ceremonial meal, there's participation in the Passover meal, and the invitation is to participate in Yeshua's meal. Now we come to His table, not my table. It's not the Assemblies of God table. It's not a table that man created. It is a table that God has created, and we're to come to that. So here in 1 Corinthians, we see that we are to remember. Chapter 11, verse 23. 10 addresses this topic as well, but that's not where we needed to be. For this is what the Lord Himself said, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And I pass it on to you just as I received it. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, what did He say? This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And in the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. The cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of My blood. This do in remembrance of Me, right? Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until He comes. How many of you have heard of the Holocaust? Anybody heard of the Holocaust? How many of you have ever realized that the Holocaust is one of the sacrifices? Did you know that? That word? That Greek word? That English word? Holocaust? It literally... Yeah, go pull it up in your Hebrew Bible. Check it out, okay? It's a word that carries with it the idea of a burnt offering. It's the burnt offering. The burnt offering, literally, from the Septuagint, is Holocaust. So when you look at that and you say, okay, well then what is the burnt offering? Because in Romans chapter 12, where it tells us to present ourselves to God, let me turn over there so I can find that and read it to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Communion is a time for us to present our lives as a holocaust. Say, wow, what does that mean? You see, the burnt offering was the one offering that no one took anything away from. The burnt offering was the offering that when it was burnt, it was to be totally consumed. It actually, the burnt offering, stayed on overnight. Often it was in the morning. The fire had to burn all night. The bones had to be consumed. The horns had to be consumed. Everything had to be consumed on that altar. Abraham, when God says to him, I want you to take your son, I want you to take him to Mount Moriah, I want you to offer him there as a burnt offering. God was not saying, go and destroy his life. God was saying, go and give him to Me. Go there and give Me your son. And as far as you're concerned, you're going to leave without him. But he knew the promise of God was going to restore his son, even if he was raised back to life. That picture is a picture of the Holocaust sacrifice. Most Jews don't like to use that word. I understand why. But I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. This is the whole burnt offering. In other words, you can't give your life as an offering to God of any other kind of offering. Maybe some of them you could find a way to relate. But this is exactly what God says. So when you remember God, when you remember Him, this do in remembrance of Me. We're going to take the cup and we're going to take the bread. When we remember Him, please remember that this is also a sacrifice on our part where we realize to receive all that God has for us, we must surrender all of ourselves to God. I hope that wasn't too confusing. I shared it kind of fast. And some of you are going to go home and you're going to look that up and check and see if I'm right. Please do that. But you're going to find out that that is the sacrifice that God requests and requires of us. Present your body a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1. I plead with you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept when you think of what, here it is, remembrance, it's right here. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? do this in remembrance of me. You say, well, what does the whole idea of the burnt offering and being totally consumed, what does that have to do with communion other than, well, I see it says that I'm to do this in remembrance. Here it is in the passage. I believe it's a time for us to understand the Holocaust in natural sense was a plan to destroy the Jewish nation. But God's plan of the blood sacrifice is to destroy the destroyer. The destroyer gets destroyed and you are free. So the blood going back to the Passover delivers, and the blood delivers not the blood of the sheep and the goats, but all of it was looking forward to the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I trust that this service today will help you remember the Lord when we come to His table. Someone said this is the meal that heals, and it is the meal that heals, because anytime we surrender everything to God, we get all that God has for us. Father, we thank You this morning for an opportunity of being in Your house, of recognizing how much You love us, recognizing that none of us could be righteous enough or good enough or do enough. None of us could do that by the law. And Father, even under grace, none of us can perfectly fulfill all of the law, but even in the prayer You taught Your disciples, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, this morning, just as much as we possibly know how or understand, I would pray that every person in this room would present our own body to the Lord, our own life to the Lord anew and afresh. That really is what our communion time is about. It's about God's great gift for us, and then we too come and surrender to You, Lord. And I come anew and afresh surrendering my life to You. And so as we celebrate the life, the resurrected life that we have in Christ, we rejoice that You have taken care of the sins past, present, and future by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And You have made us to be new creations in Christ. And we rejoice in You. So Father, right now we just present our body, a living sacrifice, that from this meal we will go out and live for the glory of God. Everywhere we go this week, God, we will live for the glory of God. For You are our Lord and Master. Father, we ask You to bless the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We know it's bread and we know it's grape juice. We understand, but it's a covenant meal. That's what You said, that it's a covenant meal. And we're to remember, we do. We receive the bread in thanksgiving. Let's receive. Father, before we take of the cup, we must pause and welcome people to receive the gift of eternal life. To you who are here, as well as those that join us by live stream, if you have not believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you have not confessed that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, then do it right now. Come to Jesus. That's the invitation. The invitation is to give your life totally to God, that you might have the life of God in you. He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We're not to take of this cup or take of this bread unworthily. So if you do not understand that Jesus gave His life for you, but you have a heart's desire to receive the gift, receive it right now in Jesus' name. You can just say something like this: I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Forgive me, Father, of my sins. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. Fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. I repent and turn to You and receive You as Lord of my life in Jesus' name. Together let us receive the cup, the blood of Jesus Christ, the purchase for our salvation. Amen.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
If I told you how I could get you through this, would you find it hard to believe? When tears like waves break through painful silence, and you fall down to your knees, just remember to breathe. Remember to breathe. You have what you need inside, and you are still so alive. So remember to breathe. When the truth you believe leaves you wounded and shaken, and it causes you to retreat, when the wind you depended on is suddenly taken, and the blow that was thrown hurts so deep. You have what you need inside, and you're still alive. So remember to pray. Ooh, ooh, ooh. For every moment is a gift, and every precious thing you hear. Don't forget to breathe. Without the breath that you take, no, it's never too late. God will make a way. Yeah,
kiss you, so oh,
yeah.
For every moment is a gift,
such a precious gift. Remember, remember. Kiss your spirit will live again.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, waiting for you and for me. For you and for me.